Now, if you live or work near a takeaway, you could have an increased risk of obesity just by living near one. Isn't that extraordinary? That is one observation of a medical study of 12,000 people in Finland looking at the link between genes and obesity. Genes with a G, not genes with a J. The Finland study started in 2005 and collects health information from volunteers aged between 30 and 62. Today, it enters its second phase. We'll find out more from one of the project's lead investigators shortly, but first, our reporter Joseph Hall went along to the Medical Research Council's epidemiology unit to meet some of the volunteers and see some of the tests being carried out.
The Fenlands are one of the flattest regions of Britain. From the air, field boundaries, roads and drainage ditches form a pattern of straight lines.
When you think of the Fens, that pretty much sums it up. Expansive skies, dark, flat landscapes.
These are the result of the work of man, for the Fenland landscape is almost wholly man-made.
But what do we know of the men and women who make up the Fens? Fenland has higher than average levels of obesity and lower than average life expectancy. To find out why, the more traditional conformative methods of study have gone out the window.
My name's Ben Brown. I'm a research assistant here. At the moment, we're doing a treadmill test with our volunteer, looking at cardiorespiratory fitness. So essentially, we're looking at how his heart rate and his breathing responds to exercise. So you've done 6 minutes so far. Are you feeling nice and comfortable on the treadmill? Right, so about 5 seconds time, Peter, you're going to feel the incline on the treadmill gradually start to increase, okay?
While Peter goes through his paces on the treadmill, I caught up with Jo Wellham, another volunteer, while she answers a medical questionnaire.
They take a sample of a random sample of people, and I was invited, and it looked really interesting. They do a lot of tests that can tell you whether you're healthy or not. And if there is any problems with your health, then obviously they contact your GP, which tests that you wouldn't necessarily have. I've had blood tests, blood pressure. I've been on a monitor to check my heart. I've had a body scan, an ultrasound to check the internal organs, and lots of questionnaires.
Okay, I've just been told that the gentleman on the treadmill is about to finish his study. That either means he's had enough or he's reached his peak heart level.
Right, so gradually stopping the test in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Gradually stopping now. Okay, you think your heart rate didn't shoot up during the jog, which is a good sign. And it also returned back to resting value within the 2 minute period that we're looking at, so that's very good as well.
Part of this day involves a DEXA scan. This basically takes x-rays of the body, and you can see your skeleton, quite literally, and you also get to see where your fat is in your body. So Peter, who we've just been speaking to, is about to, you're about to see the inner you, Peter.
Yeah, wow, that looks interesting.
So the nice bright white bits indicate areas of high bone density where your bones are stronger. And then on the right-hand side, you've got your soft tissue image, which is obviously a combination of muscle and fat. As you can see here, you can see Peter's lungs just there, and then also you've got heart sitting just over the lungs, which is that shadow just there. And from that we can look at risk factors and increased risk of diabetes and things like that.
It looks quite spooky seeing it that way. I thought I'd lost half a lung for a minute, but I was pleased to find out it was the heart that was covering it.
That was Joseph Hall reporting at one of the test days for the Fenland study. They say you can see where the fat is. I think I know where the fat is on my body. You can tell by the wobble. Maybe they do it a bit more scientifically than that. Here to tell us is Dr. Nita Farouhi, who leads the Nutritional Epidemiology Programme at the MRC's Epidemiology Unit and is a principal investigator on the Fenland study. Nita, what's unusual about the Fenland study? Is something of this size quite unusual?
Yes, there are actually a number of unusual things about the Fenland study, very positive things. Firstly, it's, as you say, it's the scale of it. So we have already tested nearly 12,500 people living in our local communities. But scale is only one element. Let me tell you about the depth of the investigation. That is really one of the biggest strengths of this study. And on this scale of more than 12,000 people, as you've just heard in that report, we are measuring very detailed measures objectively. What I mean by that is, instead of only relying on people just telling us what have you eaten, how physically active are you, we actually do ask them that, but we measure it with little gizmos and little gadgets. And that, alongside the physical fitness and the body composition that we're measuring with the DEXA scan, as you heard, with the ultrasound scan, that gives us unparalleled amount of very, very accurate information. So those are the two key strengths.
What's the point of it? What's the goal?
Yeah, the point is that obesity and type 2 diabetes are one of two of the biggest issues of our times, really, in terms of the public health burden. And we've gone some way towards understanding what causes them. The Fenland study is really trying to get to the heart of it by measuring all these things in detail, the risk factors in detail. So what we're really looking at is what is the interaction between genetic factors and lifestyle factors and our behaviors. How do they interact to cause these important health conditions, obesity and diabetes? That's the goal of the Fenland study.
And I guess the idea is that once you know what leads to these diseases, you can start being a bit more clever in how you treat them.
Well, absolutely. And it's not so much even about the treatment, it's actually about
prevention.
It's about stopping it happening in the first place. So the idea about trying to understand the interactions is between genes and lifestyles is to understand, okay, so what are the particular nuances of how people are behaving, what their physical activity level is, what their smoking level is, what their body fat distribution is. You know, I just picked up on your comment there, well, you know, you can tell where the fat is by feeling it around. Actually, you'd be surprised where the fat is hidden. So, because there's intra-abdominal fat, which is around the deep organs in the body. And with the detailed measures we're doing, we can actually pick up on that. And then, yes, we can institute measures in place for prevention. That's the idea, yes.
And why Fenland? Why is it the Fenland study rather than, you know, the Cambridge study or the Peterborough study or the Yorkshire study?
Yes, absolutely. So Fenland had been rather hitherto neglected, I would say, in terms of finding out what's going on there. And, you know, Fenland is an area with huge, what we would call, health inequalities. Levels of obesity are generally greater there compared to the rest of Cambridgeshire and England. And also life expectancy across Cambridgeshire varies by up to 7 years in men and 5 years in women, just across, if you compare some parts of Fenland to some parts of Cambridge. So these health inequalities are really, really important to understand. And by including people from Fenland, actually as well as Cambridge, it gives us the variation across Cambridgeshire to study that, to investigate that, and to be able to do something about that for the local community.
And have you come any closer yet to understanding why there are those health inequalities?
Well, we're coming closer to it. So we have so far published somewhere more than 40 scientific papers already from the results of the Fenland study. And these are pretty much divided into the direct results of observing people and seeing what happens. So for instance, we have the study that was mentioned earlier about proximity of takeaway foods to where people are living and working and commuting, and the level of obesity and weight and the body mass index in relation to how many takeaways people encounter just on their commuting, for example. Then we have another tranche of studies. So, you know, with that, something can be done about working with local authorities to say, well, you know, what should happen about the placement of these takeaways and the sorts of food outlets that we allow. Secondly, we've also contributed to some very, very large international efforts of results from the Fenland study. And in that, we're able to look at this interaction between genes and lifestyle. And that's already making some progress in our understanding of how the different enzymes and hormones that, in fact, you know, the insulin, the glucose, the lipid levels, how they're related to diabetes. That's what we're able to study. So yes, we've had some huge successes, but there's more to do, and that is why we are now, today is the day we're beginning the follow-up or the second phase of the Fenland study. So participants who've already been in the first phase, those 12,500 people, as of today, are now returning for a second visit. And this is a huge advantage because it lets us study what happens when lifestyle habits change. You know, if you were a smoker, you stop smoking, you take up smoking, or your body composition changes. All of these things, when they change over time, how does that affect health? So that is something very unique, which most studies can't do because it's very expensive, as you can imagine, You know, we are asking our volunteers to give their time to come back. So that is the you know, kind of another unique factor as to how this is contributing.
Dr. Farouhi, thank you so much for coming on this morning. It's absolutely fascinating. That was Dr. Nita Farouhi from the MRC's Epidemiology Unit and one of the principal investigators on the Fenland study. I just want to bring you some of your comments.